Well, I think if we can go with the same script, we'll go with it. It's just been exciting, and the fans have been tremendous, and I think we're going to have a heck of a winter.
You know, I think that I'm especially happy for not only coaches, the guys who are sort of behind the scenes and do a lot of the hard work and don't get, I don't think, the credit they deserve, but also for the players who won that 1982 team. Let's face it, we had to rush some young players along in 1982 and lost 102 ball games, but I think they've kind of had a mission in recent years. I don't think they forgot 1982, and they've been out there to prove to people that they know how to win.
Well, that's right. We did struggle a little bit, and we were patient with them, and they hung in there, and the competitors they are, they didn't give up, and they just stuck together as a unit, and it's paid off for them, Herb.
You think we have some more Minnesota Twins from the farm system coming up for next year?
Well, I think so. We're going to have some young pitchers coming along that'll be in camp, and who knows, we'll go into the winter meetings trying to strengthen our pitching staff, and hopefully we can add one or two from our farm system.
Well, as a farm director, did you dream of anything like this happening in 1987? I mean, like going back, I remember talking to you in spring training and everything.
Well, not really. We hope to get in this position, and we did, but in April you just try to get through spring training, put the best club on the field you can, and hopefully you stay injury free. And I think that's what we did. We stayed injury free pretty much during the season, and the guys, when we had to win a big crucial series, they put it all together and hard work, and here we are.
And today, again, the team fell behind in the second inning 2-0, but that's been nothing new for the Twins this year, especially here at the Metrodome. And I think counting today's win, Jim, the record at home this year was like 62-25. That's incredible.
That is awesome. And it seems like we put it all together when we get behind the guys. All year long, someone else has picked up. If someone's failed, whether it be pitching or hitting, somebody else has picked them up. And we've just done a heck of a job as a unit.
I'm sure there were some raised eyebrows when Tommy Kelly brought in Reardon, but he's been doing it all year in the ninth inning.
Well, that's been the program, and he's done the job day in and day out, and we're very proud of everyone on this club.
Okay, well, thank you, Jim Rantz. Congratulations to you.
Thanks a lot, Reardon.
And Roy Smalley, he's been through a lot of wars, too. Congratulations, Roy.
Well, they've been through a lot of wars, and this one was a war, no question about it. Seventh game in the World Series, unbelievably tense. My gut feeling was last night after we won, that we were going to win for sure today, but I didn't know that my gut was going to be hurting so bad for so long.
Well, I tell you, this was, to me, I guess the way a seventh game of a World Series should have been played. A lot of tension, and you got a key walk in that inning when it was a pinch hitter.
Well, thank you. It was a big-time at-bat, the most fun I've ever had in a ball game ever, going up there in that situation. And I really, really wanted to get a base hit there, obviously. I didn't really want to walk, but you got to take what comes, and I just I didn't really get a good ball to hit.
It's really kind of surprising, isn't it? There's been so much talk about the Cardinals and their pitching that we would utilize some bases on balls to get a big run there, the go-ahead run.
It really was surprising that the series went the way it did. The three games in St. Louis, the three games where their pitching really dominated, which everybody thought it would do, you know, the majority of the series. And we played three games where we blew them out, blew their pitching out, and then the seventh and deciding game, you know, what do you know? But they run through a little streak of wildness, and we get some runs due to the base on balls.
Roy, the guys weren't concerned at all when the Cardinals got those two runs in the second.
No, we really weren't. The only concern was that Frankie get back on track, and we knew that if he did get back on track, they just weren't going to go to a whole lot more, and we felt like we were going to score some runs. And Frankie did get back on track, and after we saw him pitch two innings after that, we knew that he was going to shut him down. It was just our job to get some runs.
He did pitch a great game after that second inning, and incidentally, for what it's worth, I'm not the official scorer, but I know the consensus. You should be 2-for-2 in the World Series. You should have two doubles. They gave a pretty tough error to Jim Lindemann there in St. Louis. But congratulations to you and all the guys for a great season and a great win here, and it's great to be World Champions.
Well, thank you, Herbie, and thank you for being so much a part of it. You talk about me being around here for such a long time. It's been 26, 27 years for you, and first time for you. And you know, if you're not deserving of this, there's nobody else that is.
Well, I appreciate it, Roy, and thanks for stopping by. Roy Smalley. Okay, Johnny Gordon.
Well, back upstairs, the Minnesota Twins, the world champions of baseball, they just took a victory lap here at the Metrodome. Still some 30, 35,000 fans waving their homer hankies, cheering their faithful and their world champions, led by Ken Herbeck and Frank Viola and Gary Gaetti and Randy Bush, all the wives with them. And they just went all the way around. They circled the entire field here. And the victory lap, much appreciated by fans that are still up in the upper deck in the bleachers and really going strong for the world champions. This celebration, I'm sure, will take a long, long time to end. Let's go back downstairs to Herb Carneal.
Okay, thank you, John, and I think all of our votes would go to this guy for Manager of the Year, Tommy Kelly. And Tommy, congratulations, and you don't seem to be too perturbed about the way things went in this series.
Well, no, Herb, I got to give a lot of credit to a man that may get lost in the shuffle here. Andy McPhail did an outstanding job filling in the holes that we needed. Hank Aladdin, Berenguer, Newman, of course, the Reardon trade. This guy did a hell of a job and made my job a lot easier. And let's not forget Andy McPhail. He was a super individual. His first year as a GM, outstanding job, and I got to take my hat off to him because he made my job a lot easier.
Well, that's very gracious of you and very truthful, too, I think, because Andy McPhail, as you said, we had the nucleus of a good ball club, but there were a few, little weak spots here and there, and he filled them in very well. And did you have it planned all along, hoping to get, say, 8 innings out of Frank and then bring in Jeff?
Well, we were going to go with Frankie as long as we could. We know we're beating him up a little bit. He struggled a little bit in the second inning, but it wasn't throwing the ball badly. He just came up in the strike zone a little bit. And in between innings, Dick Sutch talked to him, got him get the ball down again. And then he went on from there. And eighth inning, he began to get just a tad tired. But we wanted him to go out and pitch to Lake in the eighth. He was the leadoff hitter. And then we were going to go from one hitter at a time. We felt confident he could get Lake out. And then we were going to take it one hitter at a time because Reardon was ready to go. And after the eighth inning, like we did all year, Jeff Reardon gets the ball in the ninth inning. He's the man that Andy McPhail traded for to come over here and do the job in the ninth inning. And that's my decision to make. Jeff Reardon gets the baseball in the ninth. I told Frankie I was very proud of him, the effort he gave all year and tonight. And now it's time to turn the ball over to Mr. Reardon. And we saw what Mr. Reardon did.
Well, that's for sure. And in that sixth inning, I think it was a little unusual. We capitalized on a little bit of wireless by those Cardinal pitchers.
Well, again, here you go in your short series. You got to go with whoever, you know, your best people are. Cox is a big man over there for the Cardinals. Whitey went to him. We were ready to do the same thing with Blylevin in the second inning. So, you know, these are a game where you got to pull out all the stops. You got to do what you got to do. And we were fortunate. We took some walks. And usually when you get a walk or two in an inning, you got a good chance to score a run.
Tommy, I know what you've been going through with the tremendous media hype compared to when I was in the series in 65. It's about five times as much now. And I've almost been glad when those ball games started.
Well, that's for sure, Herb. We couldn't wait till 7:30 rolled around to get the game going. That's for sure. You got that right.
Okay, TK, congratulations to you.
Thank you, Herb.
Tommy Kelly, the skipper of the Twins, and the gentleman that Tommy referred to, Andy McPhail, the Twins executive vice president. Andrew, I see you wearing a new hairdo here with the champagne curls.
Herb, it's hard to follow the manager of the year. That's a tough act to follow.
Well, he was very gracious to you, and I think he made some very good points because we did have, I think, the nucleus of a good ball club starting this year, but there were a couple of chinks here and there in the armor, and you filled them in pretty well.
Well, we made an effort to strengthen our bullpen a little bit, add to our team speed and our defense a little bit, and we were fortunate that most of those things worked out. And I think the other thing that Carl Polad deserves a lot of credit for, once the fans started coming in and the additional revenue started coming in to the coffers, we made a conscious decision to try to put the players back out on the field with that money to try to enhance our chances of winning, and that's where we came up with guys like Negro and Carlton and then Baylor. We wanted to keep taking that money we were getting from the additional attendance to pay for ball players to help us through the last month of the season. We were fortunate that we got some key wins out of those pitchers, and we very fortunate to have Don Baylor help us win a few postseason games.
Well, he certainly did his job yesterday, that's for sure. And people like, of course, Jeff Reardon, who was just outstanding, except for a couple of bad outings early, but after that he was just outstanding. And Juan Berenguer and little Al Newman, to name just a few. And I thought perhaps Dan Gladden might be the MVP in this World Series. Frank Viola got it. We're happy for him, but I'm sure Frank feels like Gary Guida did in the ALCS. It's a team award.
Yeah, I believe Frank said that on more than one occasion to his credit. Certainly, there, by the definition of our team, there were a lot of guys that could have gotten that award. I think that's the kind of team we were all year. It was hard to pick out one guy that was really the star, but you knew that if you took out a guy, if you were without a Puckett or a Gaetti or a Herbeck all season, or without a Reardon or Viola, you wouldn't have won. So while we didn't have one MVP, we really had so many essential parts that if we'd been missing just one of them, we probably wouldn't be having this interview today.
Well, your dad had a birthday, so I'm sure he's celebrating in more ways than one, too.
That's about as nice a gift as a son can give a father that I can think of.
Okay, Andy, thank you very much, and congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Andy McPhail, Executive Vice President of Twins, and here is a man who's very happy to coach Dick Such. And, Dick, boy, you couldn't have wound it up on a higher note today.
I tell you, I heard the sun's really going to shine tomorrow. That's a little personal joke between Herbie and myself all year. Oh, boy, I tell you what, the sun's going to be shining bright tomorrow.
Yeah, once in a while we'd have a little losing streak, and I'd be sitting by Suchy on the bus or something. I'd say, well, I think the sun's going to come up tomorrow, and I'm sure it will tomorrow. Be a nice, warm, sunny day.
Oh, yeah, that put a smile on my face, and I tell you what, it usually came true, too. The sun was up.
One of your guys, Frankie Viola, the MVP, and outside of that second inning, he was almost invincible. I believe TK said that he probably got a few of his pitches up in the second inning when the Cardinals scored their two runs.
Yeah, he didn't realize it. He thought some of those were good pitches, and he came in the dugout. He's lucky he got through the inning, really. And we had Bert warming up in the bullpen ready to come and relieve him and if anything else happened, because he'd faced him twice, and he pitched good, and then he pitched so-so. And then tonight he went through the first inning easy, and then all of a sudden, bang, 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 and here they go again. So. But he righted himself. He got the ball down, and he really got aggressive. He really got aggressive with his fastball, and they couldn't catch up to it.
Yeah, he looked like he did have a great fastball today.
Yeah, he did. He got away from his changeup a little bit. I guess on a 3-day, I sat there and told TK after the short days, his changeup, it just seems like he loses a touch. That's two times in a row now that he's had trouble with a changeup, and I guess it's because he doesn't get to work on it in between starts. And But he had enough fastball, and he moved the ball in and out on him and forced him to swing the bat. And that means a lot in this dome.
A lot of difference between the time he pitched in St. Louis because he was having trouble that night getting ahead of the hitters.
Yeah, and plus they were looking for his changeup, and he really tried to pitch the same way he pitched here in the dome the first game. And they hit a lot of changeups, a few pitches were up, and of course, he got behind the hitters, and that didn't help him any at all either. But tonight, after that one inning, he righted himself, and he just started charging, and he just would not quit. He just would not take himself out of the game. And, that was the whole season right there. The way he righted himself and pitched tonight was just epitomized the whole year for us.
Well, it was just a typical Twins ending, I think, and Jeff Reardon came in and finished them off.
Yeah, Jeff, he was the right man in the right spot again, and, we didn't hesitate to make the switch, and TK says that's the right thing to do, and here we go. Boy, how sweet it is.
Okay, well, you want to get to bed not too late now. You want to see that sun come up tomorrow.
I'll see it sometime tomorrow. I don't know when I'll get to bed.
Okay, Dick Such, congratulations again, because I know you put in a lot of hard work, and I think the evidence showed up on the pitching staff.
Thank her.
Dick Such, Twins pitching coach, and here's a guy with those flashing feet. He's been going kind of long ball up until today, Gags. Greg Gagne, but two big hits in the ball game today.
Yeah, I didn't really hit the ball too hard today, but they were hits, and they counted, and I guess my legs did it for me today.
Yeah, you got that infield hit down the first baseline, and that led to a run.
Yeah, I think I hit the same kind of ball last night. And I said, just run as fast as you can, and that's what happened.
And then a ball that you, with the bases loaded after those three walks, Worrell, he was throwing pretty well, and Tommy Lawless, the third baseman, he was playing a little bit off the line. He made a great stop of the ball you hit.
Yeah, I think, from Todd throwing so hard, I guess he didn't think I could really get around on the pitch. But all I did, I just went up there and I just tried to say to myself, make sure you get the head out because he throws hard. And I got just enough of it out there to get it down the line. And then when I saw him dive, I knew he took a little longer to get up. And I seen that I just ran as hard as I can.
Well, what a hit that was, and put the Twins in the lead 3-2. Well, the guy's surprised. Every time I looked up at that infield when we were batting, Ozzie Smith really shading over towards second base.
I guess on me...
Well, on all our right-handed batters.
I guess he thought that either he's playing for the double play or that I guess he didn't think we can get around on Worrell.
Well, it's just great, Gags. Has it sunk in with you yet?
It's great, Herb. I don't know, you know. Oh, we go with no baseball, we're going to know that we're world champions, and it's just great.
Well, thanks for stopping by, Greg Gagne, and congratulations to you and all the gang.
Thanks, sir.
Greg Gagne. Okay, John Gordon.
Thank you, Herb. By the way, the world champion Minnesota Twins will participate in a motorcade parade through city streets on Tuesday, October 27th, beginning at noon in downtown Minneapolis and 12:45 p.m. in downtown St. Paul. Parade will end at approximately 1:30 at the Minnesota State Capitol building, where a season-ending public rally will be held. Dan Hertzgard on the go. We'll talk to him in just a moment. It's coming right up on the Twins World Series update.
Hi, this is Sid Hartman.
And I'm Rod Erickson. See who knows more about sports, me or Sid.
Or me, Charlie Boone, every weekday morning at 6:45 on WCCO Radio.
We're back with the Twins World Series update. The Twins are the world champions, and let's find out what Dan Hertzgard on the go is doing right now. Danny boy?
Well, I've had to actually hide the microphone out here, John Gordon, because there are so many people. If you think half of them are still in the dome, I would say the other half is out here. They are literally dancing in the street when there's room for them. Fans are climbing onto other vehicles, parked vehicles, because every vehicle is a parked vehicle. There are no vehicles moving. There's no way to move vehicles. People have climbed up onto the van. They're climbing out of people's shoulders. They're shouting. They're yelling. We're hearing them say things like, finally, finally, finally. And in the midst of this incredible mayhem, right in front of the WCCO Real Radio van is a mother with her 8-month-old baby. That baby is sound asleep. After watching the television and listening to the radio out here on the street, they didn't have tickets. The baby, she said, was cheering and yelling during the game, but now he's resting. Ruth Kozlak is here with us also. What was it like inside, Ruthie?
Well, we stayed in a little while, and after about 20 minutes, the twins' wives came out first, and they were waving their Homer hankies and blowing their whistles, and then all the twins came out. And they each said something, you know, if they wanted to. And Ken Herbeck said, ever since I was a little boy, I've always dreamed about riding down Hennepin Avenue in a parade, and now I get to do it. It was great.
I have never in my life seen anything like this.
No.
People, I mean, the streets are totally blocked, impassable. There are fans everywhere. They're dancing and cheering. Let's just, if I may, hold the microphone in the air. Let's just listen for a second or two to the sounds. A St. Louis Cardinals fan is right with me. Your name is?
Tim Lawrence.
Tim, give us your impression right now. How do you feel about this for St. Louis? How do you feel about this for Minnesota?
Well, I think the St. Louis Cardinals are a fine team, but I think that the Minnesota Twins definitely showed they're the world champions.
They certainly did tonight, and the fans were certainly with them all the way. And if I can move right over here
Can I say one thing?
Oh, sure.
I got my Cardinal hat right here that I'm going to give to my roommate on a gentleman bet that he can do whatever he wants with it. And here's my Cardinal hat, and I'm a Twins fan.
All right, there you go. And your name is what?
Jim Bennett. Jim Bennett.
And what did you want to say after this tremendous win for the Minnesota Twins?
I just want to say that I think Herb and Joe did three times the job that those guys from ABC did. They know the Twins. They know that the Dome wasn't the reason for the Twins' win. The Twins won because they're great and they deserved it!
Yeah. And I'll bet Herb Carneal and John Gordon and Harmon Killebrew are just tickled right now, just like these two little twins are. And aren't they cute? Two blonde girls. And how old are these young ladies? Where's their mom? Where's mom?
Eight. They're eight.
Okay, let's... Eight and a half. What's your name?
Danielle.
And?
Denise.
Okay, and did you have a message for the Minnesota Twins?
Yay, Twins!
All right, John Gordon. The fans are going crazy out here, and we'll be here with them. We'll send it back to you on the World Series update.
All right, thank you, Hertzy. And, of course, we'll hear more from Dan Hertzgard on the go on our WCCO Minnesota Twins radio network coverage. And we'll be back to the locker room to talk with more of the Twins players, including Frank Viola, Kent Herbeck, and some of the others who are all instrumental in helping the Twins win this world championship. That's next as the CCO Twins World Series update continues.
Plan now to join Twin Stars Gaetti, Puckett, Brudnanski, and Herbeck on a luxury Caribbean cruise January 30th to February 6th. For details, write or call WCCO Radio.
This is the Twins World Series update. The Twins are the world champions of baseball. They beat the Cardinals 4-2. Let's go back to the locker room with the voice of the Minnesota Twins, Herb Carneal.
Well, here right now is the man who caught all the games for the Twins in the World Series. He had a great series against the Tigers in the American League Series, Tim Laudner. Tim, has this sunk into you yet?
Well, it really hasn't, Herb. All I'm walking around and saying is that we're the world champs. We're the, you know, we're the world champs, and it's the greatest feeling in the world. It really is.
What about today's game? I mean, it was just really a game that I would not have pictured it going the way it did, because I figured we might hit a couple of home runs or something to win this ball game. But actually, there were some bases on balls and infield hits that were keys to getting the runs for us.
That's right. You know, if you'd have told me before the game it was going to be a two-run game, I'd have thought you were crazy. And even more so when we came out on top, because they got an excellent ball club over there. We just battled, stayed with them, did whatever we could to punch across some runs, and paid off in the long run.
What about our pitcher today, Frank Viola? TK, the Tommy Kelly, said that he really threw pretty well all day, except maybe he got a little up in the second inning.
Well, he was up most of the game, really, but they were swinging at him, and he was getting outs with it. So we just kept going with that. He kind of scuffled through like the first six. The seventh and eighth were his two best innings, and he threw perfect strikes in the seventh and the eighth innings, and he just mowed them down, and then Term came on in the ninth, finished him off.
Got him on some high fastballs early in the game.
They were swinging at pitches out of the zone, and you know, that's what happened when Frankie's got a good fastball. Like I said, it was up, but it was jumping, and they couldn't lay off of it. So we just kept running up the outs and just kept running the ball up there the best we could.
How about Joe McGrain? He looked like he had pretty good stuff, the Cardinals started today.
He did have good stuff. A little bit erratic, but he's got a lot of talent, that kid does. And he's going to be, you know, I say he's going to be a good pitcher someday. He's a good pitcher today. And he's got a lot of stuff. He got a little bit erratic. I don't know, maybe the crowd got to him. I don't know. But he's got good stuff. He really does.
I'm sure Whitey had to go to the bullpen a little sooner than he wanted to, but that's the way we wanted it anyway.
Well, it wasn't any sooner than we wanted to, that's for sure. I mean, that kid had good stuff. I think maybe Cox was a little bit short coming in on a couple days rest. Worrell, he just throws hard, and it was, you know, we were very fortunate to get to him like we did.
Well, Timmy, you had a great series yourself. I believe you were 7-for-22. I know you don't want to talk about individual stats, but you did have a great series, so congratulations to you and the whole gang.
Thank you, Herb. Appreciate it.
Tim Laudner, who was a catcher in all the Twins World Series games, and we're just happy for the whole gang that they have done as well as they have, and we hope to get some of the other Twins on. Frankie Viola is over here talking with Bert Blylevin, if we can get somebody on here in just a moment. Bert Blylevin is on the phone. I don't know who he's on there with. So, Frank Viola, the MVP in the 1987 World Series. You don't need 4 days rest.
Well, I thought the situation was, yeah, I thought it was overrated. I just went out there and tried keeping the team close, and you know, the MVP is something I never imagined. There were so many guys capable of it. It was so many guys contributing. This is just a total team MVP.
Were you a little extra pumped up today because you had them going after those high fastballs?
Well, I think that in the second inning I learned it looked to me like they were sitting on my changeup. So I figured if I threw fastballs, I'd keep them off stride, and that was the case today. It was just the situation where I tried keeping the team close after the two-run second. Guys came through when they needed to, and we won.
And you went mostly with a fastball today, didn't you?
Yeah, which is odd as far as this year goes, but at least I know that I could spot my fastball still. I haven't forgotten about it.
But again, you figured they were going to be looking for your changeup.
Yeah, they seemed to hit the changeup when I threw it in that second inning, and you know, it's just a situation that the years, the experience really helps in that situation.
What about as far as pitching to this ball club? You really have to get ahead of them, don't you, on the count?
No question, and I think the biggest reason why I won 1-7 was because I didn't walk anybody. Game four, I found myself behind everybody, gave up the runs, you know, when they didn't earn it, and things happened.
Right, in St. Louis, and you didn't throw many more pitches, I don't believe, tonight than you threw in, less than four innings in St. Louis.
Yeah, I was thankful that I could forget about game four and remember game seven.
Well, Frankie, you go back with the old 1982 gang, and it's a long way, but, boy, it's great to be on top.
Oh, you're not kidding. We all worked hard for it. I think we all deserve it. It's great.
Well, Frank, congratulations to you, the MVP, and to the whole ball club, of course, but to you for winning two games in the World Series.
Thank you very much, Herb.
Frank Viola, and here is Coach Rick Rennick, who is at third base, and I don't know if you wore earplugs or not. I don't know if we'll be able to hear after this series.
It was incredible out there.
Congratulations, Rick.
Well, thank you very much.
And I've told some of the other coaches, you know, all you guys, I think, have paid your dues, and you work hard. You're behind the scenes. I don't think you get the credit you deserve, but I know it's a great feeling to be world's champs.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I've been in this game 25 years, and it's the first time I've ever been a World Series winner, and I'm just really elated.
Well, I was amazed at how many controversial calls we had today. Looked like, for one, I think they probably evened out on both sides, but it looked like it could be a very big play at one time when they called Baylor out at the plate. It looked like he got his foot in there.
Yeah, the replay showed that he had his foot in there, but when they call him out, you know, you're going to take the heat.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just one of those things. Gaetti, I really thought Gaetti was going to be safe. I didn't think it was going to be that close a play. But it was a bang-bang play, and we've been aggressive all year, and if it's bang-bang, we're going to go for it.
Well, that was a World Series collision, I'll say that, between Gaetti and Lake.
It definitely was. And Laudner, when we sent Laudner, it was really kind of funny. You know, everybody's asked me about those two other guys, but nobody ever asked me about Laudner, and that was probably yeah. the worst of all.
Yeah.
But we got a bad throw out of it. Yeah. It was a two-out situation.
Yeah, the ball got away from Steve Lake, but the fourth run scored, and, that, of course, that makes you feel pretty good, too. You got a two-run lead.
Oh, absolutely.
Rick, it's been a long, hard season, but I just think it's, I don't know, it hasn't sunk into me yet either that the Minnesota Twins are the world's champions. I keep saying it over and over because I'm going to believe it.
Oh, I know. When I wake up tomorrow morning, I'll look at that paper and I'll finally probably realize that we are world's champions.
Okay, Rick. Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you, Herb.
Rick Rennick, our third base coach. And right now we'll go back up to the booth and John Gordon.
All right. Thanks, Herb. We'll have more locker room interviews, and hopefully we'll have an opportunity to hear from Minnesota's own Kent Herbach, who is certainly one of the big heroes of this Minnesota Twins World Championship team. Once again, the world champion Minnesota Twins will participate in a motorcade parade through city streets on Tuesday, beginning at noon in downtown Minneapolis, 12:45 in downtown St. Paul. The parade will end at approximately 1:30 at the Minnesota State Capitol Building, where a season-ending public rally will be held. The rally will be capped off by personal messages to the crowd from individual world champion Twins players and manager Tom Kelly. The Twins parade will take the following route through downtown Minneapolis. The parade begins at 12th Street and Marquette Avenue, north on Marquette Avenue to 5th Street, right turn on 5th Street to 4th Ave, right turn on 4th Ave, one block to 6th Ave.